Introductions. Stories are vital. They save lives. And they did for Shahrazad. Her tale saved her 1,001 nights. Each tale narrated never ended, but clipped into another story for the night that followed. And so is the history we attempt to write sometimes. How do you write a history of a place that starts and ends every 2 years? How do you theorize a periphery? Chapter 1. Let me tell you about Sharjah. Like many others, she was born in Rashid Hospital in Dubai. She remembers her mother telling her when she was little that all UAE hospitals are free and that healthcare is granted. She was born in Dubai on the 21st of April in 1982. And on the 22nd of April, her family drove her back to their home in Sharjah. إليكي إليكي عني إليكي عني فلست منكي ولستي مني. How was I supposed to write about Sharjah in isolation of Dubai? Now let me tell you about Sharjah. Sharjah in my memory was quite different from what it is today. Growing up, I always admired its hesitation or perhaps inability to move past the 80s. Sharjah before Al-Majaz Waterfront and Al-Qasba, Sharjah of the old Expo City and Al-Khalij newspaper. In 2016, I was commissioned to write about Sharjah for a design-led publication. Mobius focused on the city for its 2017 iteration of Design House. I wrote about migration and Sharjah, an opportunity I found to practice yet again another form of writing in disguise, a skill I mastered throughout the years. The essay explored themes of identity manifestations in urban spaces, looking at Sharjah's Iraqi experience post the 2003 US invasion. The cultural negotiations happening at the marketplace where food is sold and consumed, where imagined lives perform and phantasmagorical views appear of the past. Immigrants and souks, not installations and public art on immigrants and souks. Performances near the Corniche, as Sharjawis tiptoe around significant developments where picnicking is now prohibited and sit on the periphery to claim the spaces they always owned. No, let me tell you about Sharjah. About Al-Majaz Park that is now a fragment of what it used to be, of the gentrification of old souks that house Western spice shops that sell spices from the East. Sharjah is a peculiar city. The nature of the different localities here is quite significant in their contribution to its overall urban landscape. Street shops shift and transmute constantly as per the changing realities outside the city's realms. Waves of new migrations reinvent homes that only exist in the imaginations of the diasporic groups living here, creating fantastical reiterations of pasts glorified and lost. No, let me tell you now about Sharjah. The exterior is Sharjah Muntazah al-Jazeera. They were sitting on the grass, facing the Ferris wheel. It was January 1989. Sura, Sura, Sura. كلنا كده عايزين صورة 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 صورة. They sang it loudly. Then her mom and Khala Suha joined, followed by Rasha Allah Yirhamha, Tamara, Zina, Lina, and Sarmad. Her friends from Abu Dhabi drove to spend a day with them in Muntazah al-Jazeera. She asked, "Into ما عندكم منتزه مثلنا عمو؟ كورنيش أبو ظبي ماكو أحلى منه، بس ما عندنا مخبز المختار هناك، فكان لازم نجي على الشارقة." Her father reminded him of مخبز السعادة in Abu Dhabi. تدري؟ زين نقلنا للشارقة. تدري أشقد تذكرني ببلادنا العربية؟ مدينة بيها البركة. Sharjah was always مدينة البركة, the blessed city in the UAE. I still believe that it rains more in Sharjah than any other emirate. Half an hour driving away from the city, the geography starts changing. Cleaner roads, wider streets, and newer buildings. She spent countless hours and days transitioning from Sharjah to Dubai. She drove on many roads trying to outsmart the grid system, chasing a few extra traffic-free minutes. She loved the transition. It was her daily rite of passage, a reminder that the pursuit of rizq, talab al-rizq, is never easy. She also spent countless hours and days fighting the notion that Sharjah was just a housing project for people who worked in Dubai. After all, a city cannot be a dormitory. She's not against this notion anymore. What is so wrong about a city not masquerading as anything but a comfortable place to live? Fantastical iterations of pasts lost. The fabric of the city proves that paths are equally as important as the future. Unlike its neighbors, Sharjah is not profoundly concerned with the imagined future, but continues to uncover different histories to move closer to a world that is less cosmopolitan and more local in its diversity. The workings of imagined homes can easily be detected. Its most popular streets shift and change to redesign localities and ethnicities in new forms. These groups possess an intense homing desire that is apparent in making cultural marketplace projects that resemble home. Their journeys are concerned with putting roots somewhere else and bringing forward unique particularities into a new place. Each street and shop becomes a medium to express what has been left behind. A road that once housed a Baghdad kebab shop is now populated by a sweet shop from Aleppo and Cairo street food vendors. Indeed, Sharjah continues to shift as the world outside rotates. To think that we, as inhabitants of a city, are immune to changes around us is reductive and does not consider the reality of the increased global movement of people and ideas. Sharjah can be seen as yet another center of such transitions. All it takes is a serious pause to revisit, investigate, and produce research about the journeys that bring past forward to create new futures in the city. Let me tell you about Sharjah. It was 1980, somewhere above Bahrain maybe, in an airplane. A woman in her late 20s with her two daughters prepare for their first landing to a country that will become their home for the next 40 years. MashaAllah, نقلين جديد على الإمارات؟ وين رح تعيشوا؟ إيه، زوجي لقى شغل بدبي، بس أجرنا بيت بالشارقة. تعرفين الشارقة؟ أكو بناية هناك اسمها جمع الماجد. بناية جمع المجد هي أحلى وأغلى بناية في الشارع ما شاء الله كتير رح تنبسطوا كتير رح تنبسطوا بالشارع الشارع مثل بغداد مثل دمشق مثل القاهرة بس يمكن أجدد شوي They decorated the house so well They loved interior design A major her mother could not study in Baghdad and studied English literature at Mosul University instead She still believes Jane Austen and Charlotte Bronte helped define her classic and colonial furniture design taste Soon after she arrived to the city that will quickly become her new Baghdad, she was told about furniture Taht al-Jisr, a market set up by Chinese Muslim immigrants that were granted permanency in Sharjah by its ruler. She took both her daughters on long walks to look for antiquities and finds that could possibly resemble home. With little experience working in administration work, she gets a job at a Lebanese bank right across the street. Her daughters are enrolled in government schools that offer them monthly allowances, fresh milk, and an apple every day. Soon after, she joins the Ministry of Education as an English teacher. Her job placement is in Umm al-Qiwain. He drives to Dubai twice a day, once in the morning for his first job and once in the afternoon for his second. She commutes to Umm al-Qiwain every morning, but together, along with their kids, meet for lunch and dinner in Sharjah. She lived all around the UAE. But she only ate and slept in Sharjah. كان يا مكان في قديم الزمان فتى وفتاة تعود جذورهم إلى مدن مختلفة وبعيدة عن بعضها فهي ولدت بالقرب من شاطئ جميل ومهجور وهو عاش طفولته في واحة خضراء في عمق الصحراء التقيا يوماً ما في مدينة من مدن وطنهم الكبير وقررا في تلك اللحظة ومن ذلك المكان أن يجعلوا من هذه المدينة وطناً لهم لم يختر الفتى والفتاة أن يولدوا هنا ولكنهم شعروا بالسعادة نتيجة قرار أهليهم الانتقال إلى هذه الأرض لم يكن أمامهم خيار آخر فبعيداً من هنا قبعت أشجار الأرز المحترقة لتذكر الفتاة باستحالة العودة المنشودة أما الفتاة فلم تشفع لها أحلام اليقظة بنهرين التقيا في بقعة منيرة سيطرت عليها قوى شريرة وحرقت جميع نخلها الشامخ كان للفتى والفتاة أحلاماً كثيرة أقصاها الانتماء في مدينتهم هذه أن يزرعوا شجرة زيتون وتين إلى جانب نخلة كان هذا الحلم وعلى بساطته يبدو مستحيلاً فقد اعتاد سكان المملكة التنقل باستمرار من مدينة إلى أخرى بحثاً عن لقمة العيش كانت ملكة تلك الأرض الشاسعة قد أمرت جميع سكان المملكة ما عدا 10 أشخاص من المقربين الارتحال كل عامين بحثاً عن الرزق وبحثاً عن الاستقرار في مكان آخر. لم تسمح الملكة ببقاء أي كان في مكان وحيد طويلاً، لذا توجب على الجميع أن يعيشوا في بيوت متنقلة تتحرك كل عامين فوق عجلات إسمنتية. وذات يوم اعترض رحلتهم رجل مسن يقبع في وسط مفترق طرق تحكي ملامحه قصة كفاح طويل ومرير ويحمل بيده مفتاحاً قديماً. فسأله الفتى: كيف لي أن أساعدك أيها الشيخ الطيب؟ لم يجب الرجل، بل مد يده بالمفتاح ومعه رسالة تقول: هذا هو مفتاح شجرة التين والزيتون والنخلة، وهذا هو مفتاح بيت بلا عجلات إسمنتية. كل ما على حامل الرسالة هو السير يومياً إلى مقر الملكة وطلب الرجاء بهذا النص تحديداً. وهنا أدركنا الصباح فسكتنا عن الكلام المباح، وأين هذا مما أحدثكم به الليلة القابلة إن عشت ولم تأمرني الملكة بالرحيل. Chapter 2. How do you measure hope? You bring a measuring tape and start extending it. You walk along the dotted line for 24 months, or until your tape runs out. There are 2 rooms at the end of the dotted line. If you get to the right one, you can start measuring again. Your permission to walk, hopefully with the tape, must be met with applause and prayers. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-aman. Chapter 3. Interruptions. Interruptions became their life. It knocked on their doors every 2 to 3 years, carrying with it false hopes and needles. It urges them to revive their elixir of belonging. Blood spills into small plastic bottles, and x-rays penetrate the chest but skip the heart. This is how she has always rationalized renewing residency visas where she was born and where she was from. It was important for her that poetry remained an integral part of how she lived here. Else, the absurdity of its logic, or lack thereof, would have killed her, or worse, compelled her to leave. وَالذَّاتُ تَسْأَلُ مَنْ أَنَا أَنَا مِثْلُهَا حَيْرَ أُحَدِّقُ فِي ظَلَامٍ لَا شَيْءَ يَمْنَحُنِي السَّلَامِ. In March 2020, and due to COVID-19 and the pandemic's repercussions, the UAE issued a decree that all visas are renewed till the end of the year. The sense of automatic renewal paved the way to a false sense of permanency. Permanency for 9 months. 9 months of visa-free residency, obsessive-compulsive overachieving, was a thing of the 2019 past. يا بابا، أكو شاعرية وعمق كبير بهاي الظروف. 40 سنة صار لك تطلب البقاء والديمومة هنا بشتى الطرق. اليوم؟ أغلقت المطارات والحدود كلها إلك. هاي هي بلدك ومدينتك التي شهدت شبابك وعنفوانك وبداية عائلتك الجميلة وقصتك أنت الأجمل. تطلب منك اليوم البقاء. افرح يا بابا، كلنا واحد اليوم. لا تسافر بابا. Update: The UAE retracted the decision right before submitting this piece. All expired visas must now be renewed or holders will be fined or deported. Chapter 4. Reverse migration. In January 2020, her parents packed 42 years of history into boxes and shipped them back to Iraq. Due to the lack of paper and printers that day, he decided in 2016 to sell his house in Dubai, move back to a rented apartment in Sharjah, and buy a house in Istanbul instead. In 2017, she started a company and a mainland UAE license to sponsor her father's visa. He now owns 49% of the company, and a clerk in Sharjah owns 51%. In 2018, he decided that his days in the UAE are numbered and prepared his family for his departure. In early 2020, their life in boxes moved through the sea to Basra, making their way to Mosul for their final resting place. Soon after, her parents made their way there, happy to be finally living in a house they built in the 90s but never occupied. 2 weeks into their stay, airports were closing and borders were shutting down. They were told that the only way for them to travel to Istanbul was through the UAE. They moved back to Sharjah and the borders closed a day after. Their coveted return was interrupted. They were back in the UAE again, this time without their belongings and without their furniture. A week after their arrival to the UAE, they shopped for furniture like they did the first time they came to the UAE in the 70s. In the 1980s, the Iraq-Iran war stopped her family from considering a return, followed by the invasion of Kuwait, then the Gulf War, and then the 2003 invasion of Iraq, followed by the sectarian war of 2006 and Daesh in 2014. Today, COVID-19 brought them back to the UAE, this time with new furniture and a new life they know is temporary, like they did when they first arrived here. كان يا مكان في قديم الزمان وفي مملكة بعيدة ولدت فتاة صغيرة كانت محور حديث جميع أهل المنطقة. لم يأبه والديها بحديث الناس عن غرابة ابنتهم، فهي التي تحاور النخلة في شارعهم كل يوم وتلتقط الحجارة عن الطريق لتحميها من أقدام المشاة. وذات يوم حدثها والدها عن رحلة النخلة القادمة من بلاد بعيدة وجميلة، حيث أمرت الملكة بإحضار النخل الباسق المشهور بطلعه النضيد من تلك البلاد وزراعته في مملكتها. وافق أمير تلك البلاد حينها على طلب الملكة، ولم يطلب بالمقابل سوى الاعتناء بجذور نخل بلاده عند غرسها في أرض المملكة، يحدوه الأمل في أن تجد تلك الجذور طريقها يوماً للعودة إلى بلادها الواقعة بين النهرين. استغربت الفتاة من القصة تلك، ففي جميع حواراتها مع النخلة لم تخبرها أبداً أنها كانت مثلها غريبة ومزروعة في أرض بعيدة عن بلادها. عتبي عليك كبير، فأنت لم تخبريني أنك مثلي، وفي كل حواراتنا لم تتطرقي إلى نهريك وجذورك الأصيلة. حركت النخلة سعفها غاضبة وقالت: أنا لست مثلك، فأنا من هنا، زرعت بجذور طويلة في مكان واحد، ولا أعيش في بيت بعجلات إسمنتية. الملكة أرادتني أنا هنا في أرض سمتها باسمي. أنا من هنا ولست من هناك. أنا أيضاً من هنا، قالت الفتاة، ولكني أعيش مرغمة في بيت بعجلات إسمنتية. أنا أيضاً ارتحلت بجذور صغيرة وفتية من بلاد بعيدة يجري فوقها نهران لا يلتقيان. زرعني والدي هنا داخل حوض جميل يزدان بألوان الأبيض والأحمر والأخضر، وتحده خطوط سوداء تحكي تاريخاً عريقاً. فما الذي يميزك عني أيتها النخلة؟ تحركت بعض سعفات النخلة وكأن لسان حالها يقول: يريدون نخلكم ولكن لا يريدونكم. وهنا أدركنا الصباح فسكتنا عن الكلام المباح. وأين هذا مما أحدثكم به الليلة القابلة إن عشت ولم تأمرني الملكة بالرحيل؟ Chapter 5. In 2011, I pitched an essay to the State Journal in Dubai. The themes were around Dubai, belonging, and identity. Topics then that were seldom discussed in public and reserved only to heated and passionate conversations with fellow Emiratis and Wafideen. 10 years ago, the conversation was not part of mainstream culture and media. Today, it reminds me of the Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park. I had to write it in hiding from my friends and family, who saw it as an explicit language against the status quo, when in fact, it was a love letter to the UAE. ولكن القليل من الحب كثير. There is a sense of paranoia wrapped with a proper dosage of self-censorship instilled in my heart. Paranoia became me. Growing up, all I heard from my father is that we are guests. And as guests in our culture, you do not extend your stay out of respect. You do not ask to change the curtains in a house you are a guest in. That was possibly the end of any argument, conversation, or attempt to understand why I felt this perpetual sense of jealousy of everything Emirati. هلا يا كل هالعالم في دار تختصر عالم. My first draft was edited to the point of no return. I was happy with my final version. I knew that what I wrote missed most of the margins I scribbled on the sides. It was one of my greatest PR stunts, writing with anger, disguised with love and serenity, a good PR practitioner. When the article came out, everyone spoke about the cover, with a photo of a child in a candora. To my delight, very few picked up my piece. I was relieved. It has been 10 years since the article was published, and my parents and friends still don't know that I wrote what I wrote. Here's a glimpse of what I wrote. I have begun my reconciliation process with Dubai recently, but there's a sense of melancholy and sadness that engulfs me in a city that I cannot explain. Saeed puts it when he claims that exile is the unhealable rift forced between a human being and a native place, between the self and its true home. Its essential sadness can never be surmounted. Indeed, although I do not consider Dubai to be an exile, I am an exiled person that finds comfort in old Iraqi song that reminds me of a feeling I don't even know. I find solace in my performed nostalgia for a home I've never had. I do not remember Dubai because I know Dubai, but I'm also reminded of Dubai and what it means to me when the needle pierces my skin, looking for a right vein. I'm reminded of both Dubai and how narrow my veins are every 2 years. I refresh my belonging to the city, get a new pink slip on my passport, and reclaim the only home I've ever known. Chapter 6. Imaraki. A small apartment and a big window facing the Sharjah Corniche. There were beige sofas, wooden tables, and a little white cloth covering the TV. There were other white hand-woven pieces covering the coffee table. The coffee table had no coffee or coffee table books. It had a crystal ashtray from their wedding registry back in Mosul. Cigarette trays for the guests that never come. And a phone. هسا أنا أريد أعرف بابا. أنا شنو؟ لما يسألوني البنات بالمدرسة أنا من وين؟ رح أعرف أجاوب. أنا إماراقية. مو خوش فكرة؟ She was tired of guesses around where she was from. She knew she was Iraqi originally, but never understood why everyone thought she was Palestinian, Syrian, and sometimes Lebanese. Never Iraqi, never Emirati. She disguised her Iraqi accent growing up in Sharjah because her friends in school made fun of Kilmet al-Kantor, which is Iraqi for cupboard. And when she tried to water down the accent, she called it Antor, thinking that every qaf and every kaf was an alif in the Shami dialect. That made them laugh some more. She did not speak Iraqi much, and she never spoke Emirati, although she was fluent at it. She only spoke Emirati with her brother, in private. Emiraki made sense to her. She was so proud of how she made the two words work together. Her father did not think it was groundbreaking, she thought it was creative. Baba, let us open a restaurant that mixes dolma with bajilla, she said. Her father then said, our dolma already has bajilla. We now go to Al Shahba, Al Sha'la school in front of Shwayfat. This was in the 80s. Emiraki became her. She started telling all her teachers in school an Arabic private school in Sharjah, right in front of Shwayfat school. You know, the school for the rich kids then, or the Lebanese one that studied together with boys. In that school, she was shamed when she called herself Emiraki for disowning her own Iraqiness. She was, after all, bin Saif al-Arab. To everyone in the school, she was the daughter of Saddam. In 1988, she was told that Iraq won the war. Hence, she would be selected as the main actress in a play on Arab unity. Al-Watan al-Arabi, min al-Muhiti ila al-Khalij. The play's ask was simple. Dance in the middle of the stage with ribbons in her hands, singing about the Arab world, while other Arab countries, represented by different girls, would dance around her. Baba Rafat, لأنه ماكو داعي ندخل بالسياسة. إحنا هنا ضيوف وإنتي ولدتي عراقية ورح تموتين عراقية. السياسة مشكلة إحنا مو قدها للدوخين راسي. They replace her with a different girl, a Palestinian girl, to play a victorious Iraq. كان يا مكان في قديم الزمان فتى ولد وترعرع إلى جانب أخواته في أرض بعيدة عن مسقط رأس والديه. داخل بيت جميل وصغير احتضن عائلته. كانت والدته مولعة بتغيير أماكن أثاث البيت بشكل شبه يومي. غيرت والدته كل شيء ما عدا مكان تلك الحقيبة الجلدية التي حرصت على بقائها ثابتة لا تتحرك في وسط غرفة المعيشة. اعتاد الفتى وأخواته الدوران حول الحقيبة يومياً للوصول من نقطة إلى أخرى، ولم تشبع محاولاتهم المتكررة في إقناع الوالدة بتغيير مكانها. وذات مساء تناهى إلى سمع الفتى حين كان يجلس وحيداً صوت خافت أقرب ما يكون إلى التثاؤب. التفت ليبحث عن مصدر الصوت، فوجد نفسه وحيداً مع الحقيبة. أشاح بنظره عنها ثم عاد لينظر إليها مجدداً، فشعر بها تتحرك قليلاً وكأنها تحاول أن تقول شيئاً. من هناك؟ ما هذا الصوت؟ اطمئن، أنا هنا جاهزة لمرافقتك في سفرك القادم إلى أرض جديدة تقدم سنواتاً من رصيد عمرك المتبقي تحمل بها صفة أجنبي. ولكي لا يستغرق الفتى فيما يعتقد بأنه تخيلات، بدأ يدندن بصوت خافت كي يشغل نفسه ولا يثير انتباه عائلته. بلاد العرب أوطاني، من الشام لبغداني، ومن نجد إلى يمن إلى مصر فتطواني. فقاطعته الحقيبة: أيها الفتى، يا من تتغنى في بلاد العرب أوطاني، هل فكرت في الهجرة إلى بلد أجنبي؟ هناك ستحصل على صفة المواطنة، وإن كنت لا تزال تحمل شيئاً من الحنين إلى البلاد التي تتغنى بها، فما عليك سوى حجز تذكرة سفر إلى أي بلد عربي تختاره، ولا تتعب نفسك حينها في الحصول على إذن دخول أو تأشيرة زيارة. فأجاب الفتى: ولكني لا أرغب بالرحيل إلى بلد أجنبي، فهل هناك خيار آخر؟ تحركت الحقيبة قليلاً وكأنها تنفض عنها الغبار المختبئ طويلاً بين شقوقها اليابسة، وأجابت: نعم، حينها عليك المحافظة على زيارة مراكز التسوق والوقوف طويلاً كما تعودت دائماً أمام الركن الذي تعرض به حقائب السفر. تأمل جديدها أيها الفتى، وتأمل متانتها وألوانها، ولا تغير قناعتك بأن اللون البني هو اللون المناسب لك دوماً، فهو لون الأرض التي سترتحل إليها أينما كنت. وهنا أدركنا الصباح فسكتنا عن الكلام المباح، وأين هذا مما أحدثكم به الليلة القابلة إن عشت ولم تأمرني الملكة بالرحيل. Chapter 8. Pseudonym. I have several pseudonyms. I write for other people and get paid for it. I also write for officials and get paid for it. Remember that speech? I wrote it. I also write proposals, tweets, Facebook posts on behalf of other people and get paid for it. I ghostwrite to stay alive. I also don't know how to write in the first person anymore.